Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. Well, Brussels is finally going after technology companies and social media giants, and it looks as if Ireland could be caught in the crosshairs of its new onslaught against multinationals. Jack Horgan-Jones, our chief reporter, joins me here today. Jack, Brussels have finally published their proposals about, it's called lots of things, it's called the turnover tax, it's the digital tax. Can you explain to us what it is and what exactly it's going to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was fairly widely leaked and briefed on in the last couple of weeks running up to the actual publication. More or less, the clue's in the name. It's a tax on turnover, which is a fairly profound and dramatic departure from the usual principles of taxation, which is that you get taxed on your profits.
What you've actually made as opposed to what you actually generate.
And I think the interesting part, and I think it speaks to the core departure in terms of what's happening here, is that Europe feels that the fundamentals of the economy have shifted so much that now they have to make this, some would say, arbitrary change in how they tax these companies and hit them with something on turnover, because there's so much fun and games when it comes to actually extracting the profit out of Europe entirely, often via Ireland, that they say there's no point in taxing profits. We're going to hit you at the base. And the consequence of that will play out in the weeks and months to come. But I think something that's clear is that small open economies who have built a large part of their industrial policy around facilitating these capital flows.
One in particular,
Ireland, are going to be right at the centre of this debate. And where we sit and how we play our hand within this kind of wider realpolitik of tax and digital economy in the 21st century is really important.
I mean, it's 3% they're talking about as an interim measure, but it's companies who have revenues of over 750 million. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that who these companies are. We're talking Facebook, we're talking Google.
We're talking largely US multinationals, US tech multinationals, exactly. And so then you start thinking, what context is that playing out against? And it's very hard to separate that from the looming trade war. You know, this is now unavoidably going to be seen as
tariffs on one side, and this is a reaction to Trump's tariffs, which is you're coming after our steel, we're going after our modern day steel, which is data.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you kind of, this has been in the hopper for a while. They have been working on it for a while, but as I say, you can't really separate those two issues out. And now what's interesting as well is that the EU has effectively said, look, we are going it alone here. Just by way of background.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff, and I was even the stuff you were writing about at the weekend, you know, the OECD, who are normally, you know, the world's authority on driving tax reform. We've seen the area of corporation tax and BEPS and other things like that. They have one set of proposals. Brussels now has another set of proposals.
Yeah.
And America doesn't like, but it likes the OECD one, I think, a little bit more.
Well, I tell you, definitely likes the OECD ones. It's Ireland.
The difference between the two sets?
Well, you'd have to get the tax lawyer to tell you the exact difference. But I mean, the kind of political difference, I suppose, is that the OECD is a more gradual process, and it's a more kind of global bargain-making process. You know, what the OECD are trying to do, and this is certainly the case in the Irish telling of affairs, what the OECD are trying to do is build consensus around the various blocks on the best way to cut down on profit shifting and to ensure a fair allocation of and because that process is more gradual, you get more time, and you get more time presumably either to adjust or change your economic model. And I think that's part of the reason why Ireland is a fan of it, just because it gives us breathing space. Now you have the competing political paradigm in Europe, whereby they're sitting back and saying the likes of Facebook, the likes of Google, the likes of Twitter, they have huge revenues arising from selling and trading on our citizens' data. And while we're all waiting for the OECD process to coalesce into something real, revenues arising from this data are marching offshore, being stored in Bermuda or the Cayman Islands or whatever, and we're never getting the chance to tax them. So rather than wait for a solution to present itself, we're going to go ahead and kick down the door with a solution of our own.
But isn't that another change to tax policy, I suppose? And I suppose you can go back to the De Beers judgment back in 1906 or wherever that was, where London argued successfully that they should get the tax on the beer's diamonds because they were being sold in London. They might have been mined in South Africa, but they were being sold in London, and that's where the economic activity was generated. Mm. It's the same with this. I mean, Ireland has long argued that, yeah, the activity might be happening in other places, but it was coming back to Ireland, that Ireland was the home.
Mm.
I think Brussels has finally, and our European colleagues, our European counterparts, have finally said enough's enough.
They have, yeah. And I think what's really interesting is the question that is at the core of this issue of how we tax digital companies. So the Irish slash American view of the world is that value is created by the people who build the product. Right.
The intellectual property.
The intellectual property, the smart guys in white coats. And Irish industrial policy, particularly in the last few years, has been about convincing US companies that...
Rather, in this case, the smart guys in hoodies.
Exactly. about convincing these guys that Ireland is a good place to store this IP, right? So you have one view of the world, which is that it's the smart guys in hoodies who create the value. And then you have another, and they're almost kind of philosophically opposed in some ways. You have another view of the world which says, look, these guys who make the IP aren't actually where the value is created. It's the people who use the platform. It's the people who use Facebook. They create the value. And those people don't live in small, peripheral, open economies. They live in core industrial economies like Germany and France. And that's why you have this kind of schism between the smaller economies who have competed on IP and the larger economies who say, look, without the population are the product here, and you're just creating revenue streams from them and not allowing us to tax them. So screw you.
How bad are these proposals for Ireland?
Right. Well, I don't think anyone has really run the numbers on it fully yet, although there was a Revenue Commissioner's report, which our colleague Michael Brennan had under FOI, and we put it on the front page of the paper not too long ago, which said that Ireland is the most badly exposed here. I think a lot of it depends on whether, you know, a company is able to offset the digital turnover tax that it gets hit with in France against the profit that it would have paid in its European subsidiary, i.e. most likely in Ireland. If that's the case, I think you could be looking at, you know, significant enough between 500 million and 1 billion per year gone from our corporate tax revenues. That's kind of notional, but that's what tax advisors have been telling me around town. I think what people are more concerned about, though, is that if we concede on the principle, you know, if we play ball on the principle and digital tax, then something like CCCTB, the Common Consolidated Corporate Tax Base, could come along and hinge on the same principle that value is created in these larger economies as opposed to in the smaller economies where the IP is created. And that would truly be, if I understand it correctly, ruinous for our corporate tax revenues. And that would be, the fear is that this is the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah, we're not taking it lightly. We're not taking it lying down either. I mean, Ireland is against these proposals. Mm. I mean, you were writing at the weekend, we're trying to get the US on our side.
Mm. An interesting development, all right. And I think it does show the way that Ireland is going to go in this. We had a story at the weekend basically saying that, look, while the St. Patrick's Day festivities were going on and everyone was festooned with shamrock and plastic paddy hats and everything like that, there are some serious business meetings that go on in the ante rooms around these parties. And one of them was between Wilbur Ross and the CEOs of IBEC, Enterprise Ireland, and the IDA, you know. These are the organisations that represent the kind of state corporate nexus in Ireland. They were in there and saying, look, you guys
Ross
need to get...
Ross, of course, is Donald Trump's commerce secretary.
Yeah, and has a history of investing in Ireland through Bank of Ireland.
Yeah.
And they were saying, look, you need to get on board with the OECD. You need to get on board with our view of how this debate plays out, because short term, this is a smash and grab by Europe and it's going to hurt Ireland, but it's also going to hurt the way in which your big tech multinationals do business in Europe, and ultimately going to potentially affect their corporate health at home.
Yeah, Jack, I just want to throw one other topic to you briefly. I suppose the next couple of hours, the chief executives of a couple of the Irish banks are going to go before the Oireachtas Finance Committee to discuss loan sales to vulture funds.
Mm.
This is one topic that is just not going away.
It's not going away, Ian. I think that we kind of have the worst of both worlds here. To a certain extent, because something has to be done with the non-performing loans that are on the bank's balance
sheets.
They have to be
dealt with. They're a drag on share price. They're a drag on performance.
Yeah, they're exactly. So, you know, and then there's downstream effects on things like interest rates, which means that everyone ends up paying more for their mortgage than they do in comparable economies. But now it's politically impossible to sell these things. So we need...
Well, it's politically impossible to sell them to unregulated funds.
So we need, I think the political financial system needs to put their heads together and think of some sort of solution to this which enables the financial system not to become sclerotic and seized up, but at the same time not throw people to the wolves, and particularly people who have been able to or have been trying to make some sort of payment on their delinquent loans or on their non-performing loans, because I don't think that washes politically. And as we've talked about before, Fianna Fáil now seem to hold the whip hand on this, and they're going to make the running on it.
It's funny, and I was kind of writing about it myself at the weekend, one of our leaders, our editorials. There is a change into, you know, I think people, it's 10 years now since St. Patrick's Day massacre, when the share price of Anglo Irish Bank collapsed. And over that 10 years, there is a feeling, a not unreasonable feeling, that much of state policy has been about, you know, saving, bailing out, and rehabilitating the banks at the expense of rank and file taxpayers. And I think there's a sense out there now that enough is enough. And I think we've seen it on the Vulture Fund stuff. We certainly saw it on the tracker mortgages, and that was a scandal with a capital S.
It is a scandal.
And remains one. And the lack of accountability, a further scandal. And I think then we're also seeing it on the issue of whether banks should pay a tax, because as we know, they're using historic losses to avoid paying it. I just wonder, are we at a tipping point where the dysfunctional relationship between state, banks and taxpayers is going to change?
I think we could be, but... I think it's going to be very messy, right? So, I mean, for example, the Fianna Fáil bill to make it mandatory for vulture funds to have a regulated partner, like that in itself causes problems for deleveraging bad loans from the banking sector. The solution, the medicine, is not without its side effects, and that's why I think there's no end in sight to this toxicity of relationship between those three parties that you talked about. That's going to be going on for some time and will be indeed fueled by political developments for some time to come.
Okay, well, on that cheery note, Jack, we'll call it there. Jack Organ-Jones, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks.